Take it from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Yes, we've found Wally Beaton, Alan Dean, and Keen Herbs among those present. And Frank Cantrell has brought the augmented review of the film. So in just one half an hour, that's more or less clear.
Jimmy, where did he go off to tea?
I didn't see, Joy. I was too busy. There was a gang of kids with autographed books, and you know how it is. They chased me all down the street.
I know, Dick. You really should give him his pens back. I worry about Jimmy. He should be here. Dick, do you think he's met with an accident?
There you go. Wishful thinking again.
Oh, Dick, how can you talk like that? Poor Jimmy may be locked up in prison or broken a leg or something. Think of it, Dick.
Yes. Oh, what a terrible thing.
Well, that'll mean that only you and I will be left to carry on the type tradition.
There, little woman, we can do it. The two of us pulling together. It just means changing the title. We'll call it the Teenage Show. I'll take care of all the funny lines now. After all, Charlie Chester does, and I'm as good as he is.
Are you, Dick?
Well, half as good.
Half?
Well, a quarter as good. Well, an eighth. Well, a... 16. Well,
pull up a chair, Joy. This will take hours.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm so glad to see you.
And so am I, Jimmy boy. And may I say on behalf of all present, welcome, Ham.
Bentley, that word should be home.
I'll be the judge of that.
Where did you get to, Jimmy?
Well, great news, chaps. I've obtained a listener research form. You know, one of those forms that the BBC sends to listeners to find out whether a show is going well. The girl in charge of them bent down to tie her shoelace, and while her back was towards me, I pinched it.
Oh, why, Jimmy, you gay old dog.
Yes, fancy pinching a girl's shoelace.
I didn't. I pinched her form. Oh, beasts. Anyway, here's the form, and if we fill it in, we can make the BBC think we're good.
Oh, then perhaps they'll raise our money. Perhaps they'll give us more than 35 a week we're getting now.
They might even bring it up to the round £2.
Is anybody allowed to fill in these forms?
Well, the only stipulation is that you must be able to read and write.
Well, why do they insist that you should be able to read and write?
Well, that stops BBC producers filling them in. Now, let's have a look at it. Oh, yes. Here's the first question. When listening to Take It From Here, do you get a kind of crackling interference, an annoying drone? Oh, of course, they mean Bentley.
Jimmy, they mean atmospheric.
I'll be the judge of that. Now, listen to the next question, Joy. Can Bentley last another 10 years? Well, do you think Bentley is good for a decayed old girl?
I'm not a decayed old girl.
I'll be the judge of that. Doesn't it mention me anywhere, Jimmy?
Ah, yes, there is a bit here. That sweet young Australian who has captured every heart.
No mention of you, Joy. Sorry about that, kid.
And the last question concerns me. For the next series, do you think Jimmy Edwards should be held over? If so, held over what?
Hey, Jim, that's my form you've got there.
Why, it's my protege, Wallace Eaton. Hello, Wall. Did you say this form belongs to you?
Yes, that's mine, Jim. I was just standing down to top of Brook Lake when somebody pinched it.
You mean you're one of those people who fill out these listener research forms?
Yes, I've been doing it for years. Filling them out, posting them off to the BBC every week. Waste of time, really. Haven't had a win yet, not a sausage.
Never mind, Wall. You've got a big future in radio under my guidance.
I'd like to know why you're taking all this trouble over Wall's career, Jimmy.
Well, Jim told me he'd fix me up with a job if I kept quiet about what's behind him.
Oh, there's nothing behind Jimmy a good tailor couldn't cover.
No, I mean he's up for it. Look, you know how the boy puts all them fancy airs on? Well, he's as common as mutt, really.
No, how dare you say... I told you...
Don't you mean Jimmy was brought up with you?
No. My mater and Peter used to visit Wall's people, that's all.
Yes, the first Wednesday every month they pop round for a bath. Regular clockwork they come. Here, Jim, I've got a message for you. Know who I run across today? Ted Applewell.
What a revolting name. I've never heard of such a person.
Well, of course you have. You borrowed his boots the day your sister had her 21st. Bertha? No, listen.
Sorry, Dick, don't listen to him.
Oh, no. Well, go on. This is interesting.
Well, look. Ted's done well for himself, Ted has. He's flogged his firewood logs and bought that stationer's shop in the Crescent. You remember, Jim, the one where your granny had a paper round.
Oh, for perfidious libel.
Oh, Jimmy, you told me your granny was one of the landed gentry.
Oh, she was, yes. Often got landed. Round our way, they don't only pinch the papers, they pinch the iron bar as well. But old Ted didn't half get on. Good worker he was, honest and straight. And he give it all up. Member of Parliament now.
Is he? An MP, eh? Well, come to think of it, I believe I do recall an Edward Heppelwhite.
Ted Applewell. Well, he give me a message for you, Jim. Tomorrow, he's getting married to the daughter of a Honourable.
A Honourable? Well, isn't that just like old Sid Holloway?
Ted Applewell. He told me to tell you that without his old pal, Jim, he can't possibly walk up that aisle tomorrow.
I should think not. And what does dear old Ted want from me, eh? A few well-chosen words? A toast? Best man?
No. He says, please, can he have his boots back?
Well, now we've filled up Jimmy's listener research form, we'd like to show you how this research business works.
So here is another in a series we call The Facts of Science.
This week, Facts on Listener Research.
Who are the people whose job it is to conduct this research? The BBC engages special staff of experienced interviewers.
And what have you done today, Earnshaw?
Oh, very good day. This morning I stopped a well-dressed blonde of about 24 and asked her a few questions. Then on to a sales girl who always goes out in the evening and has no favorites. And then I paused for a few words with a photographer's model who lives by herself and has very definite ideas. And I finished up with a middle-aged widow who was very keen on late-night stuff.
Fine. And how long have you been working on listener research?
Oh, there. Oh, I start tomorrow.
The replies the BBC received to their questionnaires helped to determine which radio shows are the most popular. For example, the following was voted the funniest program of the week.
Yeah. Come here. Yeah, girls. What a week I've had. Now, listen. I've offered mine to have a word with that stranger there. I'm not a kidding you. When I got this week's rasher of bacon, I didn't know whether to fry it or shave with it. No, I didn't know. So I've put my brass up. I am now.
That was Mr. Quentin Baxter, MP, on the week in Westminster. Now, besides research on programs, the BBC try to ensure that listeners get good reception. A canvasser will put his questions to any listener. He just selects a typical house and rings the bell. Good morning, Miss Arundel.
I am the BBC listener research to check up whether you need a suppressor here. What have you got on at the moment? No. I mean, it's Monday evening. Did you get to town with Terry?
Oh, no. I only go out with Gilbert. He's my boyfriend. He's like Derek Bond, and he's not so wavy. He's more smart.
Yes, right. Then I take it that this evening you switched on the light?
Yes, with Gilbert you have to. Oh, he's shocking himself, thank goodness. And another's good as a witness.
Yes. Yes, go. So this Gilbert listens with you. Does he follow any particular program?
Oh, no, just as the mood takes him. Mum calls him old, doing what comes naturally.
See, Miss Arundel, what I'm trying to find out is this. Do you get much interference?
Only from Mum. She's always bursting in, making out us to put more coal on the
fire. Oh, come. Miss Arundel, surely for that you don't want a suppressor.
Want a suppressor? Gilbert wants to throttle us.
Much listener research is obtained by the canvassers eavesdropping on radio friends discussing their favorite shows. What did you hear last night, Al?
Let's see, there was Focus on Food. All about how the old world will be starving in a couple of years. We'll all be just lean, haggard skeletons.
What else?
Then there was the radio doctor. He'd give us a few symptoms of some horrible diseases. I got them all.
Yeah, but wasn't there a phone?
Yes, I think it's all sorry wrong number. All about a bedridden woman, what drives herself dotty all alone in the house before she gets strangulated.
Well, why do you have to listen to that stuff, Alf?
Well, got to cheer myself up somehow.
However, not all research information is obtained by direct interview. Many useful hints come from correspondence. Here, for example, is a letter addressed to one of the third program's senior woman producers.
Oh, maybe.
Tons of tar for the ticket to see the Sibelius concert. I haven't laughed so much since Granny got lost in the outside shed. I took along a bag of pickled onions to nibble during the broadcast. And do you know, Tuesday night, I distinctly heard myself on the repeat. Oh, that piano player who rendered Beethoven, he certainly set my foot clapping. Solomon, was not it? How proud of him Bruce Woodcock must be. Oh, Mavis, you looked every inch third program in your ballet-length evening gown and 29 boots. And then that romantic taxi ride back to your home. There's nothing like the back seat of a taxi when you're in love, is there? Next time, I shall come with you.
Finally, we demonstrate how listener research can change a program. For instance, if reports come in that the Dick Barton serial may be a bad example for children, it could be performed differently. Type suggests Dick Barton's special agent would set children a splendid example if it were performed as follows.
So, Mr. Barton, I have you trapped in this deserted room at the top of the house, which I always go to when Mommy is busy and doesn't want me getting under her feet.
You'll never kill me, Rapelli. I am an Englishman, and England will always come out on top.
Providing we all save our pennies and buy savings certificates.
Be careful, sir. There's a deadly viper coiled round your neck, which you never fail to wash first thing in the morning and last thing at night.
Watch out! Watch out! Mr. Barton is pointing a gun.
It isn't loaded, though, because it's dangerous to play with firearms in Shadowhead's school.
I'd come to your help, Governor, but I'm tied up and I just can't get these knots undone. That is because I bite my nails, you see.
You haven't a chance, Barton. I put poison in your spinach. And of course, Dick Barton always finishes his greens. Your trick failed while you weren't looking. I spat it out.
I know that was rude of me, but I did say pardon first.
Hands up, Trapelli. I come to the rescue of Dick Barton. I climb up the drain pipe, changing into my gym slip first, of course.
How ripping. But what did you do? But what did you do about that tough sailor guarding the gate?
I distracted his attention.
How?
A beautiful woman can always find a way. Your daddy will tell you all about that later.
Thank you, Miss Nichols, and greetings, gentle folk. Our film today deals with a famous legal case. Who is the first person you see in any courtroom? A venerable elderly gentleman wearing a curled wig. No, it's not Bentley, it's the judge. I'm not implying, of course, that Bentley is as old as any venerable judge. Most modern judges could give Bentley 10 years. Probably have. To the judge's left is the usher. He preserves order. Any time the witnesses create a disturbance, the judge cries, "Usher, usher," and they all fall down. Finally, we have the jury. This is an unique British institution. Where else in the world could you lock 6 men and 6 women in a small room for 4 hours, then have them come out and say not guilty? So to our overture. Frank Cantell's orchestra will perform a specially written legal piece entitled Buttons and Bow Street. So overture, gentlemen, please.
Present today is nice, clean family entertainment and will appeal to anyone who wants to entertain a nice, clean family. It is the story of a young boy expelled from school for dishonesty and a fight to clear his name. Hear what Mr. Dick Richards said about the film's pathos and tenderness.
When you see this film at the Tantamount, better take a hanky with you girls. The seats are filthy.
Our star is Miss Joy Nichols, who is appearing in a new play all about a drunk rabbit who is followed everywhere by an invisible Sid Field. Miss Nicholas plays Catherine, the accused boy's loyal sister.
Ronnie always was a difficult boy. Anything I told him just went in one head and out the other. But when he started setting my hair alight and dropping arsenic in my cocoa, I realized that he was just one of those kids who would never grow old. And from the looks of things, neither would I.
In this film, Richard Bentley confirms the promise he showed in New Faces of 1903. He plays Ronnie, the boy cadet expelled from the Naval Training College.
They'd expelled me. Oh, Sister Kate, I did so love it there. All the other chaps were my age, and I was getting on so well. Oh, Kate, that was the best college I've ever been to.
But Ronnie, I told you to go to Dartmouth.
Oh, you know, I thought the uniforms were a bit drab.
Playing the eminent lawyer, we have Professor Jimmy Edwards, who recently took over the name part in The Voice of the Turtle. However, the turtle got its voice back. So the professor today portrays Sir Robert, who defends young Ronnie.
Let right be done. Millard, what we must do now, I respectfully submit, is institute a subjudiciary nudum pactum in favor of sequestration of habeas corpus.
What exactly are you trying to say, counsel?
How about knocking off for a cup of char?
This film makes history. It is the only British picture to have a trial scene without Francis L. Sullivan twiddling a pencil. Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Bentley Boy, or It's That Ratigan.
It all began one afternoon in the early 1900s. I was sitting at home in the armchair, embroidering a sampler with an old Victorian motto, never back an odds-on favorite for a place. Suddenly, there came a knocking at the French window. Why, Ronnie, what are you doing out there in the pouring rain? Come straight inside. Silly boy, you should have opened the window first.
Oh, Father. Father, it's so good to see you.
I'm not your father, I'm your sister.
Oh, I'm sorry, that cigar that fooled me. Oh, Kate, the worst has happened. I've been expelled from school with ignominy.
What did she do?
I don't know. Don't know what she did, but they accused me of stealing. Me, a typical, clean-living English boy. Kate, you know I've always lived according to the book.
What book?
Spicy Stories. I'm not a thief. They've accused me of stealing a measly £500 postal order.
But the postal order for £500 can't be measly.
This one was. The owner had measles. Here, Catherine, the headmaster gave me this letter for you. It explains all.
I'll read it. Dear Cat, your brother has done it proper this time. It appears as how he has half-inched up... What's this word?
P.O., short for postal order. Oh, Catherine, you must clear my name. Oh, the shame. I can't look the world in the face.
Don't worry, Ronnie. The world feels the same way about you. But I will fight. I shall take your case to the highest name in the land.
Oh, don't let's bother Stuart McPherson about it.
I know. I'll get Sir Robert Edwards. He's the Lord's greatest advocate. Now, Ronnie, get those wet clothes off. That's right. Now step into this bath.
Right.
Ronnie, stop looking in the mirror and get into the bath.
Next morning, I received the call from this boy's sister, pausing only to call in at my office to collect my refreshers, two sherbet dabs and a gobstopper. I hurried off to the Bentley Menage. It was a quiet, unpretentious, middle-class home. I pressed the bell.
Oh, Sir Robert, it's so good of you to come. Can I get you something to eat?
I have no appetite.
Can I get you a drink?
I have no thirst.
Can I get you a cigarette?
I have no holder.
Then can I get you a chair?
Let's see you get out of that one.
I didn't know your grandmother was present.
No, that is my brother, Ronnie.
Ah, what a nice boy. Those freckles are very attractive. I wish I had them.
You will. These freckles are measles.
Sweet child. I must do something about your next birthday, such as stop you getting to it. Now, boy, you're accused of stealing a £500 postal order. Let right be done. Where were you on the night of December the 31st?
Please, sir, I was fast asleep in bed, sir. I swear it.
Oh, you should have come round to our place. We had bags of fun. We played Have a Go with musical illustrations by Sir Edward Carson.
Oh, sir, I am innocent. I never stole anything. I am innocent, innocent, innocent.
I think the boy is innocent. I'll take the case. There's only the question of my fee. It's liable to be rather high. Can you afford it?
Well, I have a £500 postal order that I can...
Johnny!
Following court. Last day's hearing in the case of Johnny Bentley versus the government. Bentley in white shorts, the government in Gladstone bags.
Sir Robert, will you open for the plaintiff from the Pavilion F? I see Ronnie Bentley has already taken the stand.
Ronnie, bring that stand back!
Yeah, keep your thieving hands on... Millard. Millard, I call my first witness, Catherine Bentley. Now, Cath, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I most certainly do.
Oh, in that case, I call my second witness. Ronnie Bentley. Now, Ronnie, you have to plead. How do you plead? Well, you're a miserable pleader, I must say. Gentlemen of the jury, I ask you to look at this lad and at his sister. I ask you to look at his sister. She represents all that is fine and decent in fragile, innocent, shy British womanhood.
Atta point, Bob. You tell him, give him one, get in there, fight and go to it, Bob. Draw blood, atta boy. Come on.
Thank you, my dear. Now, Ronnie, I understand you find school very dull.
Yes, and that is exactly what it found me. The headmaster was Deeply Wroth.
I ask the jury to remember that name, Mr. Deeply Wroth. Above all, let right be done. I appeal to all the gentlemen in the jury.
You certainly don't appeal to the ladies.
I ask you, is this justice?
It's just as good a gag as the Gladstone bag one.
Wait, stop. I can listen to no more of this. It's awful. I confess, I stole the postal order.
Who are you?
I'm Roddy's classmate. My name is Wright.
In that case, I have no option but to pronounce sentence.
Let right be done.
Frank Cantell and the Augmented Review Orchestra bring our show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Benton, Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the Keynote. Frank Miller and Dennis Norton spent a grueling 20 minutes writing scripts, and Charles Maxwell must be held responsible for the production. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in at a similar time next week, and...
Take it from